a week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Kampala, where some Ugandan football players have made a special video to thank health workers in the fight against COVID-19. Magume Davis Rakawinge filed this report from Kampala.
To all the frontline workers in Uganda, who have worked tirelessly
to serve many coronavirus patients
and the spread of this disease.
We want to thank you.
We want to say thank you.
We shall dance again.
We shall hug our loved ones again.
We shall see our friends again.
We shall attend concerts again.
We shall beat this disease.
Thank you for your services.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Professor Jones Akirol, Uganda Crested Queens, the Uganda Women National Team Captain, says she was pleased to participate in a video clip to give Ugandans hope and salute health workers at the forefront in the fight against coronavirus disease.
Of course, one thing that people have to know is that this disease is real and it kills. Trying to come out and sensitize, remind people about it, really plays a great role because it keeps refreshing our minds on how to protect each other and also to keep safe. It's really a dispute, but I know together being on the same page, we are much capable of beating this disease.
Akirol, who plays at Seminole State College in Oklahoma, says he's hopeful COVID-19 will be maintained and she'll play soccer again. She says to win against COVID-19 pandemic requires teamwork, just like does the game of soccer. Hassan Waswamawanda, the Uganda Cranes assistant captain, who also participated in this video message, agrees.
All you have to do as players is to encourage the public, the whole world, that this thing will come to pass and we shall get on into our day-to-day lives as we used to be. Yeah, people have to stay safe, stay home, and follow the government's directives so that we keep safe and we stay healthy. Because the more we stay healthy, the easier it will be for us as the people, as the public to get onto our daily work and, do our daily things the way we used to have them.
Waswamawanda says he sometimes makes phone calls to some young players and encourages them to stay fit during this period. Jean Seninde, the former Crystal Palace and Queen's Park Rangers defender, is the person behind the video.
I came up with this video because I feel that players have a very big influence when they speak up. Therefore, it's important for all of us to unite as one to send out a big message to lots of young girls and boys and women and men in the country and around the world who look up to us as players, as role models.
She says she's pleased the video is having an impact in the fight against COVID-19 pandemic.
I'm happy that people do get the message. It's all about the message. It's all about us thanking the frontline workers in Uganda and inspiring all the people who have lost their businesses, people who have stopped doing the activities that they do love to do in their day-to-day life. So it makes me feel happy.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
This is Hassan Waswamawanda, the assistant captain of the Uganda Cranes. I'm calling all the public, the general public, to stay safe, stay home, keep safe, and I know all will be well and all will be fine. Okay, listen to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Nigeria's Handball Premier League has received a surprise financial boost of more than $14,000 from its sponsor. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the president of Handball Federation of Nigeria, Sam Ocheho.
The sponsor of the Prudent Energy Handball Premier League, which is Prudent Energy and Services Limited, called us and made a surprise donation of 5.5 million naira to all the teams in the Premier, in the Handball Premier League, which equates to 250,000 naira per team because we have 22 teams in the Premier League. I mean, it came as a major surprise to the board. It came as a surprise to the players and a major surprise to the handball family in general. We were all shocked at this kind of humane donation. And what Prudent Energy and Services Limited said was this is their own contribution as part of the COVID-19 palliative. I mean, the truth is athletes are suffering because they are not doing what will give them some earnings. And because of that, a lot of them are looking, have been looking for some form of palliative or the other. And what this has shown to me is that we have the right sponsor. We have a sponsor which company we can term as a good company, because it is not only about sponsoring the sport to have competitions and all, but showing this side of the company, it will go a long way in ensuring that our handball stakeholders take our sponsors seriously. We are glad, we are excited, we are really, really happy with this development. And we say thank you to Prudent Energy and Services Limited.
What stage did the Handball League reach before its suspension due to the COVID-19 pandemic outbreak? Do you have plans to restart the league?
The Handball League was meant to commence in April, but unfortunately, before the commencement date, the Federal Ministry of Sport had placed a ban on the Federation's event because of the outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic. This was necessary to curtail the spread of the coronavirus. Hence, we all had to put on hold our activities for the year. The league has not started. As soon as the lockdown is lifted and the sporting activities can commence again, we will surely fix a new date. We should have planned ahead, but it's difficult to plan right now because we don't even have an idea of when this whole pandemic issue will be over. So that's why we've not come up with a date. The sponsor is ready. We are ready as a board, and I think the players are also ready. As soon as we see is in lockdown and sporting activities globally and in Nigeria are allowed, we will surely get back on the table and fix our date for the league.
Do you also have plans to develop the game and make it popular in Nigeria?
We have very good plans to develop the league and make it popular in Nigeria. We are already on that path. We've started, and I think handball is beginning to gain some ground in Nigeria. It's getting more popular. It might interest you to know that in the early 80s, handball was the second most popular team sport in Nigeria. Our goal and our vision is to take it back to that level of making it the second most popular team sport in Nigeria behind football, and also try to make handball in Nigeria the best across Africa. This is our goal. That's something we're doing. We're starting via grassroots. We've gone back to organizing all our competitions. February this year, we had our under 12 and under 15 competition before the lockdown started. We had plans to go for the under 18 and under 21 and also the league. So our general plan is to go back to the grassroots. One of our long-term plans is to also create academies across the six geopolitical zones where we have employed coaches taking, training athletes and rediscovering and rediscovering athletes across the six geopolitical zones.
That's Sam Ocheho, the president of Handball Federation of Nigeria. And Sam spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sam Ocheho, the president of Handball Federation of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Hi, everyone. It's Taco Fall. I just wanted to say that now's the time to practice kindness and empathy towards everyone around you. We're all doing our best to get through this together, so make sure you do your part. Grab a book, read it to your nieces and nephews and video chat, make a donation of canned goods to your local food bank, or even add some items to your shopping cart for your elderly neighbors. But most importantly, don't forget to just pick up the phone and call somebody and check in. That may mean a lot. You never know. We all can't be next to each other right now, but we still can show how much we care about one another. So visit NBATogether.com and join us in inspiring acts of caring. Thank you.
Thank you, Taco. That's Taco Fall, the Senegalese center of the Boston Celtics. The Celtics and other National Basketball Association teams had their seasons put on hold about 2 months ago because of the coronavirus pandemic. Ben Golliver is the national NBA writer for the Washington Post newspaper. Ben told Dan Friedel that he had been looking forward to a possible playoff matchup between the league's two Los Angeles-based teams.
I'm based here in Los Angeles, and so this was going to be right around the time we were going to be ramping up for the first ever playoff matchup, potentially, of the Lakers and Clippers, the crosstown rivalry. And you've got, in that series, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Paul George, Doc Rivers as a personality, as coach of the Clippers. And, of course, you've got the Lakers being the all-time big brother in that relationship, and the Clippers sort of being the upstart younger brother with a rich new owner who's, you know, got huge plans for that franchise going forward. So it was going to be a very rich, series potentially from a narrative standpoint. My season sort of ended abruptly in March, like just like everyone else, about 2 months ago. I'll be honest, I spent the first couple of weeks just totally in denial. The NBA season moved so fast. This was a very busy year with the Hong Kong controversy, with Kobe Bryant's death, David Stern's death, right down the list, that, it was, even busier than usual. And so to kind of go from 100 miles an hour to 0 miles per hour was a real jolt. And it took me a couple of weeks to kind of realize what this quarantine period was going to be like. I mean, thankfully, we've had the Last Dance to kind of bite us over here for the last 4 or 5 weeks, talking about Michael Jordan and doing that whole nostalgia trip. And then obviously there's some progress towards, maybe trying to restart things here over the last couple of weeks that's been worth covering. But it's absolutely been the strangest, April and May of my career by a long shot.
You just mentioned that we might have seen a first of its kind series between the Clippers and the Lakers. Lakers were arguably playing as the best team in the NBA for a few weeks before the league shut down. If there is a playoffs of some sort later on this year, is it possible that some of these teams that had some magic going, we're thinking about the Milwaukee Bucks, the Toronto Raptors had been playing really well in an attempt to defend their NBA crown. LeBron and the Lakers had certainly seemed to have turned a corner. I mean, there's no guarantee that these teams are going to be able to get their act back together if they do play some kind of abbreviated playoffs.
Absolutely correct. I mean, chemistry is a very tricky thing to create in the first place, and then it's a very tricky thing to maintain. And the hardest part of handicapping a potential NBA playoffs is this idea that there's unequal access to workout facilities right now. Somebody like LeBron will have a whole court at his disposal that he can play, at any time, an entire workout facility that he can play, he can go in and use every single morning. I mean, Giannis, the reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee, has said he doesn't even have a basketball hoop to have access to, and the Bucks are just now beginning to reopen their practice facility. So that's a long time to take guys out of their established routine. We don't know who's going to come back in shape. We don't necessarily know who's going to come back sharp. Building chemistry over the course of a season can take months. Now you're obviously, going to be on a compressed timeline if they do try to restart the season. So kind of all the conventional wisdom goes out the window. I mean, I think in this kind of situation, it tends to favor the very top talents, right? Because you're not going to have the home court advantage that you can lean on, right? You're not going to have the team chemistry and camaraderie stuff that's going to be trickier to put that together. I really think the teams that are favored are the teams that actually have the best player, the big dog on the court. It's sort of like if you go out to the playground and just play pickup basketball with a bunch of strangers, ultimately the cream kind of rises to the top there pretty quickly. And I feel like that would actually be kind of the environment if they were able to get the playoffs back on track.
Speaking of team chemistry, one of the elements that I think has risen up in the conversation of the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, that you mentioned, and we've talked about on this show a little bit already, is, Michael Jordan's dominant presence in the locker room for those Chicago Bulls teams of the 1990s that he led to six championships. How would his personality have fit into today's NBA?
Well, certainly he had a very clear opinion on leadership, which is, look, I have to make all of my teammates ready to go for high-pressure situations, and the best way to do that is to apply constant high levels of pressure and sometimes, you know, cross the line into demeaning name-callings and to sometimes even cross the line into physical confrontations to get those players kind of quote-unquote ready for the playoffs. And I think, you know, we've seen some more traditional or old-school type coaches, like, say, a Bobby Knight, be viewed now as kind of anachronistic, right? Like, if you're going to be throwing chairs and, you know, physically, you know, not assaulting necessarily, but confronting your players physically, you know, grabbing them by the jersey and stuff, that's just not really considered appropriate behavior anymore, and it's sort of been worked out of the sport. So I think for a certain degree, especially when we're getting into kind of, you know, the documentary, I think glorifies it a little bit in terms of what an intense and relentless leader he was. I think it's important to realize that he was a product of his time, but that part would definitely need to evolve or change to be within the modern era. I mean, I think, you know, part of it is just that his teammates wouldn't have been as receptive to it. I mean, there's been a lot of conversations here over the last few years, like, how do coaches kind of connect with millennial players? Like, what kind of strategies work? And it seems like, by and large, most coaches believe positive reinforcement has become more important than ever. Instead of trying to, you know, kind of scare your players or confront your players, it's all about trying to build them up and to give them confidence. And the thing is, Jordan was so relentlessly competitive. I mean, he cared so much about winning that I really think he would have been able to adapt his strategies to the environment based on what was actually working, right? I mean, I think if he was yelling at Scottie Pippen for three straight years and never getting a reaction, or let's say in the modern NBA, Scottie Pippen's demanding a trade because he doesn't want to play with Michael Jordan, well, I think Jordan would look in the mirror and say, okay, I've got to be the one to change here. I've got to be the one to get better. You see this play out in the late 80s when they keep losing to the Detroit Pistons. You know, Jordan's frustrated by, you know, various scenes along the way, but ultimately he looks at himself first and says, I have to get to the gym and add weight. I have to be stronger so that I can dish punishment back to the Pistons. I'm tired of getting bullied by these guys, and I'm going to set the tone with my own actions. And I think that's really how he justified a lot of his behavior along the way, is that he never asked his teammates to do something that he wasn't willing to do. And I think that that mentality of leading by example would translate to any time period of the NBA.
That's Ben Golliver, the national NBA writer for the Washington Post newspaper. And Ben was talking with Dan Friedell from Los Angeles, California. And we'll hear more from Ben and Dan later this week.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Siya Kolisi, South Africa's Rugby World Cup winning captain. Siya has joined the fight against the coronavirus in a big way. Through his Kolisi Foundation, he and his wife, Rachel, have been providing food parcels and personal protective equipment like masks to South Africa's townships. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to a feature report from VOA's Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sunny. Last November, the South African Springboks claimed their third Rugby World Cup title, and team captain Siya Kolisi became one of the most recognized sports figures on the African continent. And his fight to the top of the sport has motivated him to fight another battle back home. In the midst of a strictly enforced lockdown in South Africa, Kolisi returned to his township of Zwide to help sound the alarm of a potential crisis emerging in the country. In a recent interview with Reuters News, he explained how his Kolisi Foundation is helping those in need.
We're feeding over 1,000 people. No, 1,200. So we're doing 500 in my township, all the streets that I used to walk and all the people that I used to go and ask for bread. Now I'm going to go and try and help out for the next couple of months. And then we're going to Rachel's hometown, my wife, and we're going to go and help out there as well. And then there's a couple of school kids that we're helping from my old school. I think 85 families from them. And then there is also a creche, like a couple of creches or people from the creche that we're helping as well.
More than 11,000 cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in South Africa, with over 200 deaths. Kolisi says initially he used his foundation to provide sanitizers and face masks to help medical workers on the front lines fight against the outbreak.
We were able to get over 5,000 liters of sanitizer, and for some, so we distributed amongst three hospitals. They were all public hospitals who really needed the help at the time, and over 4,000 reusable masks for the doctors as well.
But as the crisis grew, so did the needs of the people. Kolisi said he watched as thousands of people walked for miles to receive food aid and knew it was time to expand his efforts.
A lot of people are going hungry, and there's always been hungry people before the pandemic. But now the problem is people don't have jobs, they don't have work, they've all been cut off work. So they can't even get that little bit they used to get each and every single day. So now we're trying to help out in those areas, especially in the townships. It's really hard because people don't have a lot of land to farm. Where in the rural areas, people might have land, but they actually don't have water. Those are the new challenges that we see each and every single day. And I thought I kind of knew what struggle was until I went to Limpopo this past weekend, seeing people without water, using water from the side of the road, some of the water the animals are drinking from, and you see a little kid bathing in that water. And yeah, it's really painful to see stuff like that. And it's actually given me more drive to keep on going.
The Kolisi Foundation is considered essential work and enables the rugby star to travel during the lockdown. And he plans to continue to divide his time between his foundation and the sport he loves.
I know that, you know, there's so many people who need this. And without, if I stop now, like, and I know, like, everybody's telling me, you must pace yourself, it's a long, I know that, but I think I'll be all right because people are hungry right now. So I'd make sure that I'm training during the week, and then in the weekends I travel to these places.
Kolisi has also banded together with a number of global sports figures as part of an organization that advocates for global preparedness in the face of pandemic threats. Kolisi said the Pandemic Action Network aims to bring an end to COVID-19 and shines a spotlight on the importance of unity during the crisis.
People from different walks of life to come together, you know, athletes from different walks of life, and just playing different sports as well. I think that's also amazing. That's exciting for me, you know, and we can learn a lot from each other. I think the most important thing is it's uniting all, fighting for the same thing, because we've all been challenged by the same problem right now, and using our different platforms to try and help as many people as we can, because this is a humanity fight. Doesn't matter where you're from, we're all facing the same problem today. The one thing that I've taken out of this is the unity that we're speaking about as South Africans. You see, brands would normally compete now are working together. Now I'll go meet different brands and I'll tell them, working with the opposition, they're like, it doesn't matter. All we want to do is make sure people are fed. And that's the most important thing. That's what I'm loving in this period.
Kolisi and his wife hope to extend the work of their foundation to other townships in South Africa. Meanwhile, the country has begun to gradually loosen its lockdown restrictions to allow some industries to reopen and some fresh air for its citizens. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Yaya Toure, the four-time African Footballer of the Year from Ivory Coast. Yaya was born May 13, 1983, in Bouaké, Ivory Coast. He's regarded as one of the greatest African footballers of all time. Yaya is also regarded as one of the greatest African players ever to compete in the English Premier League. Yaya Toure made 230 appearances with Manchester City, and he lifted the English Premier League trophy three times. Happy birthday, Yaya Toure. And that wraps up the May 13th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.